If I could ask you what the vision of the church is, what would you tell me? No, don't put it up there. Okay. That's the vision. That was supposed to not be up there, but that's okay. So I was going to try and put you in the spot. Now, I know as I was putting this together, I'm thinking some of you are probably going to say, yeah, I've heard this before. Another sermon on vision. Well, let me ask you, how many times have you seen a commercial for McDonald's? How many have seen, you all watch football? Yeah. Not anymore, right? Not anymore. Well, I bet you're going to see more than one beer commercial or any other promotion for any other product. Is one ad enough to get your attention, to keep your attention, to make you think about it? One ad isn't sufficient. One time isn't sufficient to continue to bring back something that they want you to hear. How many have ever ordered from Oriental Trading? You know who Oriental Trading is? You order one time from them, and you will get a catalog in the mail every day, sometimes two a day. I mean, forever, forever. Well, it must work because they keep doing it. Here's another one. How many times do you take your kids to the store and they ask you for something? A toy. Yeah, he's raising his hand. Do they ask you one time and accept your answer at one time? Exactly right. Or do they keep asking you and asking you and asking you and asking you until you finally do what?
Give in.
You either give in or you blow up. Zig Ziglar says this, "Repetition is the mother of learning, the father of action, which makes it the architect of accomplishment." So by constantly keeping the vision of why we do what we do in front of each one of us, it helps us accomplish the vision. You can't do what you don't know. Because a vision isn't a sentence, it's a reason for being. Why are we here? Why do we exist as a church? Why does Dover Assembly exist? The reason that we exist is that we are to connect people to God, we are to build people, and we are to offer hope to the people we come in contact with. Now, I'm going to go quickly through these because I know we want to have a business meeting, but you know what? God's going to have his time. We want God to have his time. Our mission and every church's vision should be to connect people to the living God. If a person doesn't know Jesus, our job should be to introduce them to Jesus. In Acts, we hear about Paul's conversion from Saul in chapter 9. But we also hear Paul repeat that same testimony how many times? Three times. Now, each account is a little bit different from the next, depending on who is around him. But basically, he is giving his testimony to the people that are listening to him. You don't have to be Paul. You don't have to be a preacher or a theologian to basically tell others what God has done for you, because it's your story. It's what God did for you personally. And I believe that God gives us opportunities every day to talk with people. And if we take time as we prayed and we sang, if we're sensitive to the Spirit, if we're sensitive to that little nudge in the Spirit, God will give you the opportunity. He'll open that door. It may be for 30 seconds, it may be 2 minutes, 5 minutes, but God will give you that ability. As a church, our responsibility is to facilitate each person that walks in these doors to connect with God. That means our goal on Sundays and Wednesdays is to develop an atmosphere where people sense the presence of God, and they have an opportunity to have an intimate time with God. The reason we worship in music is that that is our intimate time with God, that we get to express to him either the lyrics of the song, which speak to us, or maybe we just pray during the music that's coming up. We pray over the songs we choose, and hopefully those are the ones that lead us to have meaning in ourselves when we worship God. both Christian and secular songs, how many of you have a song that just connects with you? That you, no matter how old it is, young or old, it just connects. You love that song and you can listen to it 1,000 times because that song to you has a meaning. Whatever that meaning means. And it may be different for you than it is for me. The songs that you like, I may detest. If you like rap and it speaks to you, God bless you, man, because I don't. But our worship songs are songs that are meant to connect us when we worship God, to have an intimate time, what? To connect with the living God. Tell him what's on our hearts. And sometimes the songs encourage us and say things that we, oh, that's what I wanted to say in that song right there. It gives us that opportunity to connect. Occasionally, God speaks to us through tongues or interpretation or prophecy. And usually these words are words of encouragement designed to speak either to the entire church or words of admonition that are designed to speak to one person or two people. Church is supposed to be a time of rest from the world. We come in out of the world to rest. And I came in 2 weeks ago, it wasn't any heat, but 50 degrees in here was a lot warmer than 0 degrees out there. And when you walk in the door, it was like, ah, feels good to be in here. Until I took my coat off and got used to it, then it got a little chilly. But we're designed to be a place that is a respite from the world. We come in on Sundays and Wednesdays just to have a time with God away from the things that are distracting us all week long. And that's the time that God is supposed to build us up, fill us up, and prepare us for the rest of the week. We want our church to be one where people can really connect with God, to have an intimate time with him. It's not just a meeting. It's not a Rotary Club. We are the church of the living God. We want people to sense God's presence in this building and in our lives when we leave the building. The next one is building people. Not only do we want to connect people with God, we know that God uses people to accomplish that task, right? He uses us to do that. I believe the number one need of people is to know God's word and how to apply it to their lives. Now, I did a little research in Lifeway Bookstore. They did a research and a survey, and they found the following. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but I still am. It says 45% of regular church attenders read their Bible more than once a week. How many of us read God's word more than once a week? And not just Sunday mornings when we preach. About 40% of the people read it occasionally, which means 1 or 2 times per month. 20%, these are church attenders. 20% of church attenders never read the Bible. Again, these are Christians are asking. 67% of Americans believe heaven is real. 45% believe that you can get there in many different ways. 20% of Christians believe the same thing. We need to have a working knowledge of God's word because we need to know what to apply to our lives. When you're raising your kids, and let me backtrack a little bit. The Bible refers to itself as food. You eat God's word and you digest God's word. How many of you, I'm not going to say anything, but I'm going to guess that probably most of us don't go on one meal a week. Is that a fair assumption? Some of us, more than one meal a day. You don't take in God's word only occasionally. We take in God's word because our spirit needs to have a continual knowledge of God's word. If you don't know that, you're not going to be prepared to face, as we saw, in the saying, what happens outside of here? You have people that walk around that have had devastating things happen in their life, and they still love God. And you wonder, how do they do that? Well, they do that because they know God's word. And if you want to be able to have that same response when tragedy comes your way, you can't cram for the final at the last minute. You have to have a working knowledge of God's word continually so you are ready for that when it happens. How many of you do everything for your kids and don't let them do anything? If you do that, what happens when they become an adult? They become spoiled. Now, I got to confess, I've been accused of this. I don't know if it's true, but more than one of my sons-in-law have told me that. So, I don't know. I don't know. Just hearsay. If you do everything for them and don't let them do anything for themselves, they become ill-equipped to be an adult. As a pastor, I do a disservice to you if I don't encourage you, admonish you, and beat you into reading God's word. Doing things you don't want to do. If I don't encourage you, I wrote down here, if I don't encourage you and nag you to read God's word and be involved, I am not doing what God has called me to do. Ephesians 4:11 says, He is the one who gave these gifts to the church: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. We build people by teaching them God's word, and then we build the people by allowing them to do on their own God's word by knowing what they want to do. We build people also by meeting their needs. James 2:14 says, Dear brothers and sisters, what's the use of saying you have faith if you don't prove it by your actions? That kind of faith can't save anyone. Suppose you see a brother or sister who needs food or clothing and you say, well, goodbye and God bless, stay warm, eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? When we study God's word and we take in God's information, we don't get it just to have information. We get it so that we're able to apply that information and do things with what God tells us to do. James 1:22 says, and remember, it's a message to obey, not just to listen to. If you don't obey, you are only fooling yourself. You build yourself up by doing what God does. My job is to encourage you to do that. Your job is to do it. If we don't, I've used this analogy before. It's like teaching someone to drive. They can sit in an office or a room and they can study every book there is written about driving. But they are never going to learn how to drive until they do it. And they make their mistakes and they learn and they grow and they become a better driver by doing. The only way as Christians we become better Christians is by doing. If we sit here and just take in and take in and take in and never do, we're not learning, we're not growing, we're not becoming who God has prepared us to be. Building up in the faith is kind of like a circle. The more you come to be built up in the faith, the more you desire to reach out. And the more you desire to reach out, the more you want to learn. And it's a catch-22, you keep doing it. Because the more you learn, the more you want to do. And then the more you realize that you don't know, so you go back and study some more. And then you do some more. It's a continuing process. You never come to the end. Most people aren't satisfied to have others doing everything for them. How many have older parents that now you have to do things for? And they can't do things for themselves. I don't know about you, but my dad's not too happy about that. He's not too happy that he can't be at home. He's not too happy that everyone tells him what to do and where to go and what to eat, and now he's got to eat and get him there. Hates it. As Christians, we don't want to be the people that are having everyone do something for us. We want to be the ones doing and out there doing things for others who really can't do things for themselves. Our vision is to build people and really desire them to equip themselves to live out God's will in their lives and ask God for help themselves. We talked about that last week, just praying Simple prayer, Lord, help. The ultimate goal of any counseling session or any kind of 12-step program is eventually to get out of the program, right? You get in, you do the lessons, you do the 12 steps, and hopefully the goal is you graduate and now you've achieved what you were going to do. Rather than continuing to be in there and grow and meet and meet and meet and nothing ever changes. Your goal is to learn to get out. As Christians, our goal is to learn God's word so that we can eventually do. The last thing we're doing is we are offering hope. Now, we've been studying this on Wednesday night, as Sherwin said, and we preached on it a few weeks ago, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. But suffice it to say that Christianity is the only thing that can give each one of us really any hope. If we hope in things or people or situations or anything, everything is eventually going to either wear out, let you down, give up, or leave. They will never fulfill what they say they're going to fulfill. God is the same. His promises never change. Psalm 146 verse 5 says, "But happy are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the one who made heavens and earth and the sea and everything in them. He is the one who keeps every promise forever." I'm sure I've broken promises. I'm sure I've let people down, as all of us have. God doesn't. When we invite friends and family to church, we're not inviting them to a meeting. We're asking them to experience the hope and encouragement that we've already experienced. You know, it's funny. We were out last night. Amanda came in, and we were out getting something to eat. We went to a restaurant. The place was packed, as is every restaurant in New York and everywhere on a Friday or Saturday night. And, you know, you go there because you want something, right? You want to get fed. But in 3 hours, hungry again, right? Doesn't fulfill. And when if you go to a restaurant and you experience a good time and a great food, what do? You tell everybody about it, right? Or you got a good deal on a car, or you got a good sale at Macy's or whatever. The first thing you do is tell all your friends, "Hey, man, I got this great bargain at Macy's," or "I had this great dinner at this restaurant. You ought to go." We're so easy to encourage people to do something that we've experienced that was good for us. How often do we do the same thing about what Jesus has done for us? "Man, look, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. This is the most awesome thing you're ever going to hear in your life. This is what he did for me. He gave me hope when I shouldn't have had it. He gave me joy when I should have been crying. He changed my life radically." That's the hope that people need to hear. That there is something beyond themselves that they can have. A lot of times we as a church, and I got to watch it, I'm not guilty of it, we try to become all things to all people. And Paul does say that. But our goal should not be how close can we get to being like the world, but how close can we stay to Jesus and still have an influence on the world? Because what happens is you become so close to the world and you're doing everything that they do, you now are no different than them. And when trouble comes up in their life, they're going to look at you and think, "Well, they're the same as me. The only difference is they go to church on Sunday. Well, I don't have to go to church on Sunday to be just like them." But if they see something radically different in your life, then they may not understand at any time. But they now experience hardship and they say, "Wow, I know what they went through when they experienced that. I want it. I don't know what it is, but I want it." That's what we want people to know. As a church, we want to tell people what God has done for us, offer them hope in a hopeless situation, maybe. We want to show people how to connect with God, to know more about him. The older we get, the more we realize that the things we've put our trust in over the years, gone, faded away, become different. If I had to explain the vision in layman's terms, I'm gonna borrow an example that I stole from a book, or borrowed from a book. Didn't steal. Borrowed. Here's what we want for the church. I want every baby who comes into this church to feel loved, welcomed, and cared for. I want each baby to feel the love of Jesus through those who care for him or her. I want the children who come here to feel loved and cared for and welcomed. I want their time here to be one that is written in their memories as a great time and a wonderful experience. More than that, I want those children to look back one day and know that this is where they met Jesus. I want the teens that are here to develop their relationship with Jesus through the time they spend with their friends and what they are able to learn and do through the ministries that are here. And I want every teen, regardless of their family situation, to feel loved and welcomed and a part of this family. I want them to build a foundation of faith that carries them when they leave our church. And I want every adult, young or old, single or married, to feel loved and accepted for who they are. I want them to feel welcomed in God's house, and I want them to experience God for themselves. I want them to come and learn about Jesus and then use what they learn to help others along the way. And I want this church to grow and be an influence in the community. The more I bring this vision out, hopefully the more we'll be able to carry out. Going back to Zig Ziglar's quote, repetition brings about eventually accomplishment. Ask yourself, do I connect with God? On a weekly basis, do you connect with God? Or do you just come because it's something you do on Sunday? Are you growing? Are you being built up? Are you learning? Hopefully you're growing if you come to services and Wednesday nights. And are you growing at home? Are you taking the encouragement we give you on Sundays to take it home and learn more about God's word? And are we offering hope to those we come in contact with? Or are you experiencing that hope right now? Maybe you're in a situation that you need hope, and God is the one who's providing that hope for you right now. When nobody else can, nothing's changing for you right now, but you still have hope that God is the same. And as we said before, he never leaves you alone. Our vision is that we do all three of those for the people that walk in these doors and the people we come in contact with every week. Would you stand as we close in prayer? Now, we're going to have our business meeting in a moment, but we're not there, so we're still on God's time right now. Every head bowed and every eye closed, if you would. Maybe you're here this morning and you have been in this church for years, or maybe this is your very first or second time. In either case, as we said before, our goal is to connect you to God. And that means if you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then you really don't have a relationship with God. Because the Bible says there is one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. If you want that living relationship that we've tried to discuss this morning, that time where you have connection with the living God, that's available to everyone, the Bible says, who believes in Jesus. If you're here and you've never really committed your life to him, you've never asked him for the forgiveness of your sin, to turn you around the other way and give you new life and new hope, and you want that this morning, I want you to raise your hand right now. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just getting along with the bare minimum of connecting with God. Yeah, you come to church on Sunday and that's about it for your relationship. You want to do more. You want to spend time. But it never seems to work out that way. We're going to pray that God changes your schedule and gives you that time. Maybe you're doing a great job and offering hope and peace and comfort to those you come in contact with. Or maybe God hasn't opened any doors for you yet. Well, we're going to pray that God changes that as well. If our only goal was to come and worship God, we can do that in heaven. But we still have a mission in the world. That's to offer what we've already received, the great thing that God has done for us. We have a job and a mission to relay that to the people we know and come in contact with. No one is exempt from that. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for us. You have transformed our lives. You came into us and you made us new people. You took away all the old junk and replaced it with your Holy Spirit. Father, I know it doesn't mean we have perfect lives. We don't struggle. But we know that our God is there to forgive us, pick us up, dust us off, and keep us moving. So, Lord, I pray that you would fill each person here with your Holy Spirit. Allow them to really sense the power and presence of God in their life, not just in here, but every moment of every day, and that our lives would be a reflection of the transforming power that we've already experienced. God, you've made us new. You've changed us. You've blessed us. Help us to be able to relate that to people, so that people see what Jesus has done for me and for each one of us. And I pray that you would open doors for each person here. Give us the courage, give us the boldness, and give us the opportunity to be able to talk to somebody this week about Jesus. Allow each one of us to carry this vision, because it's not a church building vision, it's a Christian vision. That means each one of us should have the same goal, to connect those we know to God, to build them up as much as we can, and to offer them hope in what may be for them a hopeless world. Give us the opportunity, Lord. Give us the anointing to say the words. Bring back to our minds things we need to say, the scriptures and the testimonies that we need to relate. Help us to do that, to further your kingdom, reach people with the life-changing power of Jesus. Bless each person as we leave today. Allow us to have that sense of urgency when we leave and realize that people around us need Jesus. Keep us safe, we ask. Prepare the way for us in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.